This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
All right, you guys, welcome to Spotlight on Maryland. It's Gina Crash, your host for the next half hour or so, and we have a studio jam-packed with guests this morning we can't wait to introduce you to. But, you know, first I have this fancy intro, so I think we're going to start that way. Courtesy of Sarah Warfield, who put us back in touch with the Neighborhood Design Center, and Maura Dwyer from the Baltimore City Office Project Coordinator. But here's the official intro. How communities are designed matters. Well-designed public spaces make communities safer, happier, and healthier. But not all neighborhoods in Maryland have equal access to resources to improve their public spaces. That's where this week's guest comes in. Joining me today is Bryony Hinson. She's Deputy Director of the Neighborhood Design Center, also known as NDC, a nonprofit organization committed to providing design assistance and community development services to low and moderate income neighborhoods and communities across Maryland. With over five decades of experience and more than 4,000 completed projects, NDC has earned a distinguished reputation as a partner in enhancing community environments. With offices in the Station North area of Baltimore and Hyattsville, Maryland, NDC's assistance helps to strengthen civic participation in development initiatives, educate the public about the value of good design, planning, and preservation as community revitalization tools, and increases investment in the responsive rebuilding of neighborhoods. I made it. And of course, first of all, Bryony, thank you for returning. We had you on in November of 2023, right?
Yes. Thank you so much for having us back.
It's good
to
have
to be here.
Yeah, great to have you. And you've also brought along Maura Dwyer, who I mentioned briefly is project coordinator for the Baltimore City office. Thank you, Maura, for joining us too.
So glad to be here. Thank you.
Oh, we're psyched. And you guys are both going to handle, you know, your respective areas to talk. And then anytime you want to, you know, chime in together, like for instance, with this beginning, you know, to feel free to jump in anytime. But for those who are unfamiliar with the Neighborhood Design Center, NDC, can you tell us a little bit more about what you do?
Absolutely. So we were actually founded in 1968. So the Neighborhood Design Center, we're a nonprofit organization, and we've been facilitating the development of healthy and equitable neighborhoods through community engaged design and planning services. We are one of two legacy organizations in the country that do this type of work. And there's many others that have been established since the late 60s. But we've, in our 55-ish years, we've supported over 4,000 projects, mainly in Baltimore City and Prince George's County, Maryland. We really want to encourage the broad participation of our communities in the development of different amenities in the built environment. And so we focus on bringing together tools and processes and different perspectives to collaborate on those different projects. Really, we know that our community leaders are experts, and so those community leaders have lots of vision about what's working, what's not working, and what they would love to see in their neighborhoods. But often they may lack resources, they might meet systemic roadblocks, and so we get organized and we come in and help. We bring people together, build capacity, we conduct research, And we provide design and planning services, which are generally pro bono or low bono, so that with the right tools, the communities can secure funding for implementation, have a pathway to success, be able to build the sort of park renovations and building renovations that are so needed. So we connect people across sectors. We work between government agencies, designers, neighborhood leaders, nonprofit organizations in our neighborhoods. And we really leverage all kinds of built environment design expertise. So we have urban planners, community planning, architecture, landscape architecture, social design, artists, graphic designers, you name it. We want people on our teams. And so really the end goal is that these well-designed places can have better positive influence on quality of life. And so we think about social justice and environmental sustainability to really bring out the best in the places in our neighborhoods.
Wow. And, you know, so and then how does Maura, I know you mentioned partners, Maura Dwyer, project coordinator for the Baltimore City office, obviously a proud partner. And if it benefits the city of Baltimore, you know, that's right up your alley. So tell us a little bit about how well you guys work together and how you came upon working, you know, as
sure.
a team.
Yeah, I'm a project coordinator for NDC's Community Design Works program, and I work in tandem with a really incredible staff at NDC. I actually started as an intern several years ago and then worked with NDC as a project coordinator for various projects over the last few years and came on as a project coordinator for the Baltimore City office recently, and I couldn't be more happier to be here and work with Bryony. We are working on community level, local projects that happen in neighborhoods, that happen on streetscapes, that happen in commercial corridors, really working in tandem with community partners to develop conceptual designs with our amazing volunteer designers, architects, landscape architects, so they can take those designs and help to raise funds to actually implement them. I mean, we provide, you know, assistance and design guidance along the way.
That's so cool. And I love that you started with NDC, you know, on the intern level. That's also inspiring, I think, to other people that are interested in that field to be able to still work in tandem together and to continue to make progress for the city. That's incredible. Mm-hmm. And would you recommend that for, you know, that career path, like the two of you, is that kind of where you came from? Like you're doing exactly
sure.
what you love, it sounds like.
Yeah, I was really happy to be from Baltimore and went to Maryland Institute College of Art and had a focus on public art. And so working with NDC as a young artist and as an intern and then going to grad school and coming back to NDC has been really full circle and taking a public art lens into applying it to public design and social impact public design more broadly for the city.
Yeah, and Mike is such a great school. So do you guys want to share like a few examples of some of your designs that people need to be aware of, for sure?
Sure. So there's, I can share a couple of examples, and I know Maura's got some active projects right now that she could describe a little bit. The range of projects that we work on is pretty wide. So for instance, one that people may have seen recently is in the Sharp Leadenhall neighborhood. We worked over the last year and a half with Miss Betty Bland there, who's a community leader, and really trying to lean into the vision of uplifting the history of the neighborhood and the heritage of the neighborhood. And so we engaged a graphic designer who came up with banners for the streetscape there, and they were just posted in the last 6 months. And they're just beautiful. They're really dynamic. They're really excellent. And I think it's a lovely example. In Baltimore, we have such a rich cultural sector. Mm-hmm. We have so many creatives from, as I mentioned, architecture through to graphic design, public artists. And so we really love to see when we have these super dynamic creatives who can come in with the sort of the panache and bring the vision of the community leader to life and to really celebrate that heritage. So wayfinding and community branding is one piece. We have a different project that's pretty exciting in the Upton community, working with Upton Planning on the preservation of the Perrin Mitchell House, which is the Congressman Perrin Mitchell's beautiful historic home there that is they've secured, I think, over $3 million of funding to renovate it and preserve it and turn it into a community gathering space, which is quite significant. So cultural heritage and sort of promoting different community assets are also a pretty large goal of many of our community partners. Maura, do you have a couple of current projects?
Mm-hmm, yeah. Actually, one that we're getting ready to really kick off with the broader community is this week on Thursday. We'll have the first of three engagement sessions that are really a visioning session to work with the Belvedere Improvement Association, BIA, and its president, Anna, who will be working with us to really kick off a visioning process for a lot that they recently purchased via bond bill with help from their senator. And they're working with us to do a really inclusive and collaborative and broad series of visioning sessions just to start out with what can this space be? What does our community need? How do they want to gather in public space? It's right along York Road. It's across from the Senator Theater. It's adjacent to Belvedere Square. So there's lots of restaurants and entertainment in that area already. And they're really nestled in a residential area right up on York Road. There's lots of plans for York Road. There's lots of interest and dynamic things already in York Road. So we're asking ourselves, what opportunities does this lot provide for that community? And it's really exciting to be able to work with a community who's so invested, who has many long-term homeowners, and who actually has control and ownership over this lot and can say, this is what we want to do with it. And we're there to just help document the process, document existing conditions. We have community engagement specialists and architects on the volunteer team from, you know, great organizations across the city like United Way. And they'll be there to help kind of steward the process. And our role is to hand it off to the community partner afterwards and say, okay, where do we go next? What's the second phase? How do we continue to develop this vision of theirs?
And we all know that corridor really well. You know, I miss Full Tilt Brewery in that area. Remember, was that what it was called? Yep. And the Senator, of course, everybody knows that as a landmark. So that's a great project. And I love that you guys are working so closely with the community with that. And I know that, Bryony, you've got a bunch of exciting new things coming up in 2025 as we are still in the first quarter here. So let's start with the Grassroots Design Fest, which is taking place later this month. I love that you're here. Just perfect timing for this.
Yeah, it's great timing. So Grassroots Design Fest, it's a one-day design-a-thon, and it pairs volunteer designers with different Baltimore nonprofits. It's returning on March 29th, and it's seventh year. I think there were some years it was down from the pandemic, but this is the seventh annual. And it's at the Maryland Institute College of Arts Brown Center, where NDC is a proud producer this year in partnership with T. Rowe Price and the Maryland Institute College of Art. And what we do is connect small sort of grassroots Baltimore nonprofits with web developers, architects, graphic designers, and other creative professionals for this one-day sort of hackathon type of event. And so this year, 16 nonprofits were selected and to work with just under 80 volunteers on this one-day event. And they'll be prototyping like new logos, updating websites, looking at branding strategies, designing signage and wayfinding systems, and addressing other challenges. And it's really in order to strengthen so many of these nonprofits are absolutely expert at what they do. Some of these are nationally known within their field. And so we're coming in with the supplemental design services to support them getting their mission out there more, raising their profile. Some of the selected nonprofits for this year include Baltimore Clayworks, Baltimore Racial Justice Action, the City Lit Project, Mental Health Emergency Fund, Youth Empowered Society, Baltimore Rock Opera, and the I Am Me Project. That's just a few of the nonprofits that were selected by competitive application.
That's really cool. I think we've actually talked to Youth Empowered Society before. Everybody you mentioned is doing incredible work. So that must have been a competitive slot to try to get, right?
Yeah. And we're just excited that this should be an annual event. So to be able to really... it's a dynamic format in that it's just one day, but it really gives a lot of energy to these different organizations. So
yeah,
we're thrilled to see it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And so how can people get more information about that? Or, you know, is it too late to get involved if like somebody wants to join?
For this year, I think all of the volunteer and grassroots organization slots are filled, but certainly stay tuned for more storytelling. The website is www.grassrootsdesignfest.org. And we, you know, definitely keep an eye on the website. I believe there's a sign up there. You could add your email address certainly look for next year's call for proposals or call for applications.
Yeah, absolutely.
Low-carb keto, yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections, but you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almased. Almased is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog clog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almased. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
March Madness is here, and if you want to enhance the experience, join me, Gary Parrish, and my colleague Matt Norlander on the ION College Basketball Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. We have new episodes at least three times a week and at the end of every night of the NCAA tournament. So before you go to bed, hang with us or know we'll be there when you awake. We'll break down games, make picks against the spread. Most of all, we'll have a blast. So join us on the ION College Basketball Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So while we're talking about websites, what is the website for Neighborhood Design Center?
Sure. Neighborhood Design Center is www.ndc-md.org.
Okay, got it. So we need that dash MD because we are in Maryland.
In Maryland. So yes, it's NDC, like Neighborhood Design Center, -md.org.
Okay, great. And then what social media platforms, in case someone's like driving along now listening to this and they're like, wait, I want to get more information, like right this second on my phone.
Yeah, so we're on Instagram, on Facebook, and on LinkedIn.
Okay,
perfect. The best places to find us.
Awesome. So we are going to follow you on all those platforms for sure. And Maura, do you have a specific hub for the work that you're doing through Baltimore City?
Well, I'm actually, you know, I serve NDC's Baltimore City's office, but mm-hmm. still really a staff member of NDC.
Mostly NDC.
Their,
okay,
yeah,
gotcha.
Yeah, with their Community Design Works program.
Okay,
exactly.
So it's not separate. It's more in tandem
exactly.
with a focus
exactly.
on
exactly.
Baltimore City.
I'm just focusing on Baltimore City's projects.
Got it. Okay, that makes total sense. Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. And I imagine that fundraising is very important to the work that you and the NDC team do. So if you guys want to tell us about your next event, which I love the name of, the Trash Dash.
This is a really fun one.
On April 5th, maybe you need Gina Crash to join you in the Trash Dash.
Come on out. We would love that. So, yes, the Trash Dash, it's our annual fundraiser, friend raiser, community builder. What we do is put together this event so that teams of 5 to 10 people can come and compete. We really gamified the idea of a park cleanup. And so we have fun prizes for teams that have categories like best team spirit, most funds raised for NDC, best found object. People find the weird and wonderful things. They find like cowboy hats and surfboards and all kinds of stuff. So we have a little competition at the end to see what the weirdest, wonderful, most wonderful thing that's found. But the immediate impact of like removing trash from the park is very important. We'll be at Middle Branch Park. And so it's right on the water there. We're really looking at that watershed ecosystem health as well. And then it's also a way just to connect and build community and camaraderie. People love coming out and giving back. We have folks that are volunteering with like teams from their company are coming out, but we also have families that come out and friend groups. There's a poker club that just put their team together. So it's a pretty big range.
And is April 5th, does that sound like Earth Day to me or is that around Earth
it's
Day?
Earth Month. I think Earth Day might be towards the end of the month, but you see a ton of cleanups across the city and across the state. And it is a really great time to get out and sort of feel the sun on your face and do a little good in your neighborhood park.
Yeah, or maybe people listening that want to organize like their office or, you know, corporate, even if it's from mom and pop to like a big, you know,
absolutely.
And corporate entity.
We're still enrolling teams, so anyone who would like to join us, they can get on the NDC website, www.ndc-md.org, and find the information about the Trash Dash.
That's perfect. And you're right, Mark, because I think Earth Day is like more like in the 20s or something.
I think
right?
It's April 22nd this year.
It is, right? It kind of, rotates around like 21st, 22nd, but you're absolutely right. So this sounds like a great way that people can get involved and also beautify our community, which is always a win-win for everybody and a lot of fun, honestly.
Yeah.
Get a perfect day out there, too.
It was really fun to make the prizes.
Yeah. Yeah, for all your like
staff. So there'll be some collaborative prizes.
Oh, I love that. So is that for all your categories like best team spirit and most funds raised? And do you have like a goal for the funds? I know it like...
You know, as a nonprofit, it's as much as we can leverage. So we look to, you know, that both the team registrations, and then we ask the teams themselves to additionally fundraise. So that's part of the competition, and also corporate sponsorship. So we have different companies who come in and actually support the event that way as well.
And yeah, and then do you find people, besides just removing, you know, trash and beautifying our community, but do you find that you also raise a little bit of awareness about what you're doing?
For sure. And we love partnering. When we do this in Baltimore, we partner with Baltimore City Parks and Rec, and we have some of their folks come out and share a little bit more about, you know, the park system and how important this is ecologically. So, yeah, there's definitely an education component.
Oh, good, good. And then, so who should participate, and how can people sign up?
Sure. So registration fees vary by team size. We want teams of 5 to 10 people, but it's open to everyone. So families, friends, neighbors, coworkers. Team captains can register online and then populate your teams once you've registered a team. If we have individuals who would like to come out who don't have a whole team, definitely get in touch. And we put together community teams as well.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. So if you have like a single entrant, you know,
yes.
You can put a whole group together.
We'll definitely make sure that they can still participate.
A little bit like the singles table at the wedding.
Yeah.
Put everybody together, right?
Yeah. And usually that's one of the most fun teams.
Oh, absolutely. I love it. Yeah. Because not everybody has like this huge, you know, like you mentioned, T. Rowe Price. They're very charitable. And another one of your many partners that helps, you know, raise funds with you guys. And, you know, they like, obviously, it's a huge company, but, you know, not everybody. So
definitely we'll have, you know, students or individuals who just want to come out and be part of it. And everyone's welcome.
Yep. And so if anybody's thinking about it, that's hearing about this now, like, what does a participant's day look like at the Trash Dash? Take us there.
You would arrive about 9:30. We'll serve, you know, coffee. We'll fuel everybody up with some nice pastries and things. We'll definitely do a safety briefing, make sure everybody's on the same page there. Number one goal, no injuries. And then kind of get gathered, do a brief program, and then the teams head out at 10:30, and it's a race to really to pick up as much trash as possible. We had a team last time we were at Middle Branch. They brought a special, like, a minivan, and they had scoped out the parts of the park that had the most trash, and they were just hauling. I mean, the multiple van loads full of trash they brought back, bagged up, got it ready to get taken out. So people really kind of set up a game plan, some of them, and get excited. So they, you know, clean up. We have an hour, so it's on a timer. Everybody comes back at 11:30. We do that award ceremony that I mentioned, clean up a little bit, make sure everything's kind of set up for the teams or the folks to come and remove trash at the staging ground. And then, we provide the gloves and the tools and refreshments. And so folks just need to come dressed to work, good footwear. And yeah, that's what we need.
And bring that energy and enthusiasm.
That's
and anytime we do like a cleanup like that with our company and stuff, I always find that maybe you also get less tempted to use bottled water. If you see how many bottles there are, like caps or just all the junk, you're like, I could do something to help not have it end up at that place in the first place. Like,
exactly. On a day-to-day basis, just going, oh, wait, I can refill that water bottle, reuse that cloth shopping bag.
Yeah. It just really, when you see it in front of you, like it's mind-boggling how much we waste that just washes up on our beautiful watershed, you know?
And last year, we had our first kid team, and they really brought a lot of great energy as well. And it felt really good to have these, you know, a group of 10 kids who kind of got that impression of not just seeing adults around them really pitching in and doing that, but just to see what happens when a piece of litter floats away and then they see it kind of in the river and the waterway clogged down and how much of it there ends up.
Yeah, no, it's true. And then they probably love the timed element too and like the competitive nature of it. You know, that sounds like fun really for all ages too. And we mentioned up front, Bridie, that you joined us back in 2023. And back then we had reported that Baltimore had been selected as one of eight. Actually, this is your section. I'm sorry. We're entering into the city section of the interview. I'm sorry. Anyway, that Baltimore had been selected as one of eight cities awarded the Bloomberg Public Art Grant, which is huge, of up to $1 million for its Inviting Light project. Mm-hmm. So tell us where we are with that exciting project. Nothing like following up. I think when the first time I talked to you guys, I was like, oh, we got to follow up about that. And lo and behold, here we are in, you know, March of 2025. So take us, like, what do we need to catch up on with that? That's really huge, by the way, and congratulations.
Thank you so much. Yeah, we're really excited. We had our community kickoff in early February, and we have an unveiling of the first piece in just 2 weeks on Friday, March 28th, of Zoe Charlton's piece, Third Watch. I can share a little bit more about that, but I want to just remind folks of the overall project, if folks haven't heard about it first in 2023. So Inviting Light is curated by Baltimore's own Derek Adams. It's managed by a Central Baltimore Partnership, an association with the mayor's office, and our organization, the Neighborhood Design Center. And it really came from over a decade of planning and research and community engagement, where we heard from stakeholders in Station North that there was a poor quality or lack of lighting as a major challenge to the neighborhood, the district, cultural activity, street life, getting more permanent further investment. And when I was there in 2019 and worked on the Station North Public Space Plan, there was often an identified need to address transportation and the streetscape. North Avenue is this big, broad, really loud street with a lot of car traffic, a lot of open sidewalks. And so really out of that, light became an important thing to address. Light is part of the public realm, but we often overlook it. And something that I've heard throughout this project that I love to reiterate and I will hear is that light is most evident in its absence. I think that's a really poetic way to approach it.
That is. That's very powerful.
Yeah.
And you know, are we really only down to 5 minutes, Producer Greg? Oh, dear. Okay, so I want to make sure we condense, or if there's something that I haven't asked you that we still need to cover, I'm going to look to you guys to sort of tell us about the most important things we need to know about.
Understood. So I would love to just dive into our first unveiling next week is, again, by Zoe Charlton, Third Watch. It's going to be at the North Avenue Market, kicking off at 6 o'clock. You can find the event on Eventbrite. You can head to Inviting Light's website. You can also follow Inviting Light on Instagram, at Inviting Light Baltimore. You'll find more details about it. There's a whole night of programming in the North Ave Market that kind of complements and reflects on the concepts behind Zoe's piece.
And then for future, I know you have several pieces that you're going to be unveiling. So will there be future events? And then how can people find out about those?
Absolutely. If you head to Inviting Light's website, invitinglight.org, you know what? And actually, I want to make sure I'm saying that right.
That's okay. Yeah, me
the
too.
Website.
Yeah. Yep, we're good. Okay, we got the thumbs up from Sarah Warfield.
So if you head to invitinglight.org, you can sign up for a mailing list, and you can also head to the events calendar there, which will have all upcoming events for the next unveilings of each piece.
Perfect.
So our next one is going to be Big Ass Snakes on a Plane by Fan Hong and Tony Shore's Aurora, which is happening on Charles Street across from each other. Tony's is on the facade of the former Gatsby's nightclub.
Oh, cool.
And I know. I love that building.
Yes,
it's
gorgeous.
An iconic nightclub in Baltimore City, and it's going to have this beautiful lit up painting that is a like an ode to Baltimore's nightclub scene. I think that's really exciting, especially for what the event is going to look like for
that. Oh, yeah.
And then Fawn's piece is going to be a beautiful, huge, lit-up snake plant that's taking over the Charles Street garage.
Wow.
So, what a statement to make in terms of our built environment.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited to see that and to pull those two pieces together for the next event in June, on June 14th. So definitely follow us on our Instagram, follow the website, sign up, and you will certainly see more ways to register and stay up to date for that project.
Awesome. And then, Briony, real quick, and we only have our final like minute and a half here, but
no,
I know NDC was a big organizer of International Placemaking Week in 2024, and you just announced a follow-up event called Vision is Yours. If you want to quickly tell us about that, which is coming up in June, right?
Yes, that's right. So June 5th and 6th will be in Mount Rainier, Maryland. Coming out of International Placemaking Week, we just had such a positive response from the participants, folks saying, hey, we really need to kind of lean in on building our field here, building our community of practitioners, people who are really excited to make these positive creative changes in terms of public streetscapes and public places. So That gathering is going to bring about 150 people together in Mount Rainier over 2 days, and we'll have a build component, we'll have education components, and of course celebration components as we investigate the Gateway Arts District and visit local projects and hear from local leaders there.
That's awesome. And ndc-md.org/vision, which we're going to put all this at todays1019.com so everybody can get all these links and the Eventbrite link and all that stuff. And real quick, as we wrap up, what are some ways our listeners can support your efforts, whether that's through volunteering or donating, and what's an easy way to do that?
Sure. Again, to get on our website, www.ndc-md.org. As you mentioned, we're a nonprofit, and as you've heard through the conversation today, we really support so many other organizations across Maryland. So any donations are well received and well stewarded. We really are grateful to the donations that we receive. We also love to support volunteers getting involved in all of the different events we've mentioned, as well as directly on community design projects. So we'd welcome all of those ways to participate.
Yep, and we look forward to the trash dash and everything, all the other cool things. Thank you on behalf of everyone listening too. Like, thank you for all that you do for our beautiful city and making it even more beautiful.
Thanks so much.
Thank you guys so much for having us.
Yes, of course. You're the best. So again, Bryony Hinson is Deputy Director of the Neighborhood Design Center and Maura Dwyer, Project Coordinator for NDC, working in tandem with the Baltimore City Office to continue your efforts, because we know you don't do this alone. And we want to, you know, thank everybody who wants to support you guys as well. We appreciate that. And thank you guys for listening to this production of Odyssey Baltimore.